Okay, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, who loves us, you are holy and full of mercy. Father, in these end times, among the many people of this world, you have called us first and saved us. And in this sinful world, you have consecrated us. And for our remaining lives, you put us inside your church where you work together. You let us live in your church, listen to your word, and follow your will. We thank you. In this time, brothers and sisters saved by your precious blood are gathered here together. We praise your great love and grace. We learn your word. And we thank you for allowing us to be inside this holy fellowship. Please work among us, look after each and every one of us, and with your merciful hands, please make each and every one of our souls stronger inside you. Please provide us your abundant life and love and grace and power of your hand, so that we may live without embarrassment as your children, and let our remaining life be a meaningful one, and let us fulfill the great works you've given to us. We pray that the Holy Spirit, our Lord, rules over our life and our heart, so that we may be used preciously according to your will. In this time, there are brothers and sisters who couldn't be here today. To those who are sick, Lord, please heal them quickly. And there are many brothers and sisters going back to their hometown because it's the lunar holidays here. And Lord, please protect those who are going back to their hometown. With your love and grace, let them preach your gospel. To those who are weak in their faith, in their difficult situations, sufferings, Lord, please look after each and every one of them and provide them with your grace and blessings so that no one stumbles down. Far away abroad, there are many brothers and sisters living their Christian life, keeping their faith, preaching the gospel in very difficult situations. Father, please provide them with your grace and word and blessings so that they may boldly preach your gospel and fulfill your works. Please work together with them. You give us your word according to due season and teach us how we have to live. Please give us more grace and courage and give us a word in this time so that we may stand strongly inside you. We rely this time on you and the Holy Spirit. We pray in our Lord's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's read Psalms chapter 67. Psalms 67, we will read by turns. Psalm 67. Psalms chapter 67, from verse 1 to the end, we'll read by turns. I'll start. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let's read the last verse together. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Now the choir will praise the Lord. Let's open the Bible, John chapter 20, John chapter 20. John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 21 to 23. From verse 21 to 23, I will read John chapter 20 from verse 21 to 23. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Okay? You know, many people, because it's now the holidays in Korea, the lunar holidays, they're going back to their hometown to spend the holidays with their family. So there are many seats empty today. And are you people sitting down here going back home after the sermons? No? You know, the traffic is really bad. There are so many cars out there. And it's raining today. Well, but we need rain because it was dry for the past few weeks. You know, this time, even in the winter, there was not much snow or rain. But we need snow or rain for the crops to grow well. And the farming has to go well for us to have a lot to eat and have a good spirit. But so today, I guess rain is coming down. It's a good thing. All the creatures in the world are going to be happy. You know, even our soul needs the rain of God's grace. We have to keep on receiving it. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is like rain or dew. We need to receive continuously God's grace in order to grow in our faith and bear fruit. If we cannot receive the power of God supplied, just like plants can't grow well or bear fruit well without rain, our soul will be dried. We will not be able to live a good Christian life. And we will not be able to bear fruit for God's glory. So when the good rain comes down, even our hearts should think about God's rain of the Holy Spirit. We should say, "God, pour down rain so that I can live a better Christian life, so that I can bear more fruit." We should pray to God. And today, we've been continuing our lessons about what the Holy Spirit does. Today, it's what the Holy Spirit does. 33, I think. You know, as I prepare the sermon myself, I learn a lot. The Holy Spirit is dwelling with us, helps us, works with us. We know that, but as we learn deeply about this through the Bible, we could know how precious the works of the Holy Spirit is working inside us. And living according to the Holy Spirit, what is it? We could learn it through the Bible. You know, in the Old Testament times, through the Israelites, God showed that he is alive through many miracles. Well, he showed that a lot through the history of Israel. And through the prophets and working through Israel, he showed that he is alive. And he prophesied what he will do through his word. And among all the prophecies, the most important ones are of course about the Messiah, the Savior that will come. And as prophesied, the Christ has come. He died, he resurrected, and he finished salvation for everyone. Anybody can be saved through grace. He gave everyone evidence that we can believe in. After Jesus died, resurrected, and ascended to heaven, after that the Holy Spirit came down. And on the day of Pentecost, the 12 apostles and 120 brothers and sisters, they received the Holy Spirit. They were full of the Holy Spirit. And through them, God testified of his works of salvation. If the Holy Spirit comes down, you will receive power and preach the gospel throughout the ends of the earth. It's in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. When the gospel is preached to the ends of the earth, Jesus will come back. From the day of Pentecost until Jesus comes back is the time, it is the age of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works through born-again Christians. In the Old Testament times, the Israelites saw the miracles of God. God taught them through prophets. But after Jesus died and resurrected, now we have salvation that is given at once. But back then, there was nothing like that. It was not fulfilled yet. In the Old Testament times, the people believed in God's promise. And because they believed in the promise, I believe they would have received it after Jesus finished salvation. But now in our time, Jesus died, resurrected, and ascended to heaven. Now, whoever believes in the Bible, in the gospel, they can be saved at once. We are living in an amazing time of grace. And in this time of grace, we have to be thankful to God that we're living in this time. And we have to be thankful again that we are saved through His grace in this age. It is absolutely the grace of God that saved us. The Bible says when the gospel is preached to the end of the earth, the end will come. But now in our generation here in Korea, we're living in the Far East. The gospel is preached to the Far East here. Now the gospel has been preached through the ends of the earth. The Bible we have now was translated into about 3,600 languages. The Bible, the gospel, is preached through the end of the earth. We are living in the end times. This age of grace can come to an end any time, and Jesus can come back any time. We are living in the end of times. And in this age that we receive salvation, this is an amazing miracle and grace of God. And now, as born-again Christians, we know that the Holy Spirit is inside us and rules us, guides us, until Jesus comes back. So we are learning about the life according to the Holy Spirit. The Israelites saw God through His miracles. They listened to God through the prophets, the word that God gave them. And they obeyed the word. But there were many problems back then. But today, what about us? We have greater grace compared to back then. And we're living in very happy times. Now it's amazing that we are saved, but from the day we are saved until we enter heaven, the Holy Spirit guides us. And we've been learning this again and again and again. If you don't know, you can't live your Christian life right. The Holy Spirit, after Jesus died and finished salvation, the Holy Spirit teaches us the grace of God. He gives us confidence, assurance that we are God's children. The Holy Spirit helps us to have the sure, assured faith. The Holy Spirit makes born-again Christians united as one and forms the bodily church of Christ. This is such an important thing. So, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, it says, this word is given to born-again Christians, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. As soon as we're born again, we are no longer individuals. You know, when a baby is born, the baby is not alone. The baby is the member of a one family. The baby has the father and mother, and maybe the baby has brothers or sisters who were born before the baby. The baby is born into a communion, to a congregation, an assembly, and the baby is cared, loved, and grows up. And then if the baby grows up and becomes an adult, he could get married and form a family of his own. And just as his family has done, he could do what they have done. Now we are born again. We are no longer individuals. So, in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, it says, whether Jew or Greek, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. We were all baptized by one Spirit. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 2, it says, how did you receive the Holy Spirit? Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? By the hearing of faith. The Holy Spirit helps you believe and dwells inside you after you're saved. So in Corinthians, it says, your body is the holy temple of God. Don't you know that your body is the holy temple of God? God no longer dwells in a temple built by man. When Jesus was alive, God was inside Jesus after he died, resurrected, ascended to heaven. God dwells inside born-again Christians. He dwells inside the congregation of born-again Christians. Our body is the holy temple that the Holy Spirit dwells in. Born-again Christians are like a living stone. They are united and connected together. Jesus is the cornerstone, and in order to form the bodily church of Christ, we are being formed as a holy temple. In Ephesians 2, it says that. And 1 Corinthians 2, verse 3, it says, you are the holy temple of God. We, as a congregation, form the church of God. We are the body of Christ. Individually, the Holy Spirit dwells inside us, and as a church, God dwells inside us. Don't you know that? Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, you know that you're born again, but don't you know that the Holy Spirit is inside you? You don't know. That's why you commit sin with your bodies. This body is the holy temple of God, and if you know that, could you sin like that? So in Ephesians 4, verse 3, it says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't make the Holy Spirit grieve. Don't make it jealous. Don't upset the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a complete personality, a perfect character. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God. It is perfect character. Can we speak however we want? Can we act however we want? We shouldn't act however we want. We should not defile our holy bodies. You shouldn't put some toxic water inside and get drunk. Don't drink alcohol. And what about... You know what I'm talking about, right? Don't smoke. Quit smoking. You know, if you look at the TV, they kind of put on mosaics of smoking. You know, in the past few decades, in the TV, they smoked so awesomely that people wanted to follow that. Some people say, where does the Bible say don't smoke? When the Bible was written, there was no such thing as a cigarette. If there was, probably it would have been written down, don't smoke. But in Isaiah 55, it says, how come you give money for what is not food? Why do you work for what doesn't make you full? And one of those things that are not food is alcohol and smoking. They are bad for your health. If your lung is so healthy you want to melt it down, then you should just smoke every day. But you know that smoking is bad for you. If you're a born-again Christian, quit smoking. What harms your body is not good. It's a sin. You have a sober mind. If you get drunk, then you are not sober anymore. And what will you do if you're drunk? You do things that you wouldn't do when you're sober. There are so many problems derived from drunk people. Some people drive while they're drunk. They kill other people. They kill themselves. They make many families sad. If you're a born-again Christian, you should not be drunk. It's an order. It's written in the Bible. It's a command. Anyway, our body is the holy temple of God. We should not think bad things. We should not do bad things. So, to the Corinthian church, Paul wrote, don't commit sins that you shouldn't. Some did. So, Apostle Paul had to write down to them, don't you know that your body is the holy temple of God? You're not yours, you're bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God with your bodies. The Holy Spirit is inside you. Jesus shed blood to save you. Your soul that had to be put down to hell was delivered. It was bought at a price. Your body doesn't belong to you. Your soul doesn't belong to you. If we use somebody else's like it's ours, that is a robbery. Our body does not belong to us. God bought our body and soul at a very expensive price. The Holy Spirit is dwelling inside us. With our body, what do we have to do? We have to glorify God. That's why God saved us, to glorify God. Whether we eat or drink, whatever we do, we have to do for the glory of God. Living for God's glory is good. Doing something that has nothing to do with God's glory is a sin. It is evil. Glorifying God is a blessing for us. It is happiness for us. If we glorify God, then God will give us happiness. Everybody committed sin and fell short of the glory of God. We committed sin. We fall short of the glory of God. But now we are saved. God gave us the privilege to enter His kingdom. If we are now allowed to enter His glory, we should live to glorify God. You know, the Israelites, they were chosen for the glory of God, but they were disobedient. And it's written in the Bible that God's name was defiled because of Israel. They were chosen to glorify God, but they defiled the holy name of God. Even in Romans chapter 1, to the Jews, it is written down, because of you, even among Gentiles, you defile the name of God. We are born again Christians. We have to be careful about how we speak, how we act. We should think about what glorifies God. If we do wrong, we could defile the name of God. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, it says how to pray. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. If we are born again, God is now our Father. When we say Father, God says, "Why? Okay, my son, why are you calling me?" God said Jesus is his beloved son, the one that pleases him. It's not only to Jesus, but God says the same thing to us. We are his beloved son, and we should please God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Just because we pray like this, is his name hallowed? Is he honored by that? God will say, when did you hallow my name? You did wrong. You dishonored the name of God. You defiled my name. When did you hallow my name? Hallowed be your name. What does that mean? It means that we should hallow his name. We should glorify his name. We should live to please God, to glorify him. If we call God our Father, we should make his name hallowed. If somebody does wrong, whose name is dishonored? His father's. People say, whose father is him? But let's say the father is a very famous man. Too bad. The father's name is dishonored because of the son. So you can't dare call out your father's name. If you do wrong, you can't just call out your father's name. You'll dishonor it. God is our Father. There is the original of the Bible, and there are many copies. There are copies. And while copying the Bible, if the name of the Lord, Elohim, comes out, the Jews had to take a bath, make themselves cleansed, and clean their pen, and then write down the name of God, Elohim. We have to glorify the name of God. The Holy Spirit is dwelling inside me. We should not grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. He is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. But we always forget about it. So what do? We have to listen again and again and again. But we just forget all the time. We just cry out what we want to. We get angry, get mad. We do bad things. Is God far away? If we're not born again, maybe, but we're born again, he's right inside us. The Holy Spirit is dwelling inside us. Now, what does the Holy Spirit do? We have to learn. We've been learning through the past few weeks. The Holy Spirit, we should believe that he is inside us. He is. We have to believe that he's inside us, and the Holy Spirit, he does a few things. First, he makes us one. He makes born-again Christians one. We are one body inside Christ. Jesus is the head. We are the body. We are the holy body of Christ. We received one Spirit, became one. And also in 1 Corinthians, it says, you are the body of Christ. We are all together, the body of Christ, and each and every one of us are the members of the body. There are many members in this body. There are visible ones, invisible ones. And because there are members of the body, when the body exists to do the will of the head. If the head says, let's go, the whole body has to go. If the head says, let's do something, the whole body has to do it. The head says, let's do this, and the body says, no, I don't want to. I'm going to close my eyes. The feet are not moving. One member of the body wants to do it, but the other body doesn't want to, then could you do it? You know, we memorize a lot of times, I cannot do it, but we can do it. We are the body of Christ. If the finger is alone, what can it do? It could do nothing. But when the finger is abiding in the body, it can do the will of the head. And it is used by the head. If we are dwelling inside the church, God will use each and every one of us very preciously. So, born-again Christians should endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. If we don't know that we are the bodily church of Christ, we cannot live the right Christian life. Apart from the body, as individuals, no matter what we do, even if we give donations and do this and that good things, it doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with God. The Holy Spirit made us one, and the Holy Spirit works inside us. And we have to live according to the Holy Spirit. In Romans, it says, these are the sons of men who are led by the Holy Spirit. If we are led by the Holy Spirit, we are the sons of God. It doesn't mean that because you're led by the Holy Spirit, you're the sons of God. But if you are the sons of God, you'll be led by the Holy Spirit. We are learning what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit's inside me. The Lord that saved me is living inside me. Even when we sing hymns, we sing this. And when we listen to the sermons, we say, all right, he's inside me. But if we go out of the church, do we forget? No, we shouldn't. Even if we forget, the Holy Spirit is still inside us. Even if you don't know it, he is inside you. Now, this is a very important thing. You know, in the verses we just read, Jesus died. As written in the Old Testament, he resurrected after 3 days, and he showed himself again to the disciples and many people. And while many people were watching, he ascended to heaven at the Mount of Olives. But this was written before he ascended to heaven. It's a very important thing that he taught his disciples. John 20 verse 21 says, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. The disciples, they were afraid of the Jews, and they were hiding in a house. But Jesus, he didn't open the door. He just suddenly appeared inside the house. Because the resurrected Christ could go through the doors, he had a very holy body. We know that the Wi-Fi signal goes through walls. And the resurrected Christ, he had a new body. He couldn't die again. He had a holy body. So he was able to just suddenly appear in the house without opening the doors. And he said, peace to you. Peace to you, what does this mean? Jesus died on the cross, and at the end he said, it is finished. And the resurrected Christ, he first said to his disciples, peace to you. What did he finish? Redeeming our sins. The Bible says, you know that he appeared to redeem our souls, our sins. He has no sins. The sinless Son of God came down to this world in the form of man. The wages of sin is death, so a sinless man had to die for us, and he finished it. The sins we committed with our body, the sinless body of Christ, took the judgment. He took the judgment and wrath that we had to take, and on the cross he said, "It is finished." He finished eternal redemption. He finished cleansing all sins. And after he resurrected, he said, "I redeemed all your sins, be peaceful." Let's say somebody had a business ruined and he has debt of a few billion dollars. There's no way to pay back. He wants to die, but he has a family. He couldn't die. He couldn't run away. Oh, what do we do? What does he do? The people come to say, "Pay back my money. If you don't pay it back, I'm going to put you in prison." Well, what does he do? He can't sleep day and night. He's worried. But somebody came up. He has a lot of money. He had a good heart. He paid back all his debt and gave him the receipt. "Hey, look, I paid back your debt in for no condition. Be free now. Live a good life now." Oh, wow, that's amazing, right? Jesus paid back all our sins. The resurrected Christ is the evidence that he paid back all of our sins. The Bible testifies of what Jesus has done for us. And the resurrected Christ told his disciples, "Peace to you." In Isaiah 54, it says, "The evil one, the wicked one, has no peace. He's going to fall down to hell. There's no peace for him." But Jesus died on the cross for us, resurrected. If we believe that he saves our sins, the fear of judgment is all gone. We have peace. And we believe in the gospel. He showed his hands and his side. "I was wounded for your sins." He was whipped and we have peace. And the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. But they felt like, "Oh, am I dreaming?" In Luke 24 it says, "Oh, is Jesus a ghost? Touch me. I have a body." He had a new body. And here, it says, Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Now let's think deeply about this verse. "As the Father has sent me." God sent Jesus. What does it mean? In John 17, before the night Jesus died, Jesus prayed, "Oh Father, I did whatever you told me to do. I glorify your name." He wasn't crucified yet, but he said that because he was going to be crucified. What did he do? Cleansing our sins. Without cleansing sins, we cannot avoid judgment. God loves sinners, but he does not love sin. The sinless Son of God had to be sent to the world. All the sins of the world had to be carried on him, and he had to die like an offering to God. And Jesus said on the cross, "Oh, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me?" But God forsake him. The skies were dark for 3 hours. The heavens cried and also the earth cried. God looked away. "Oh, Father, why have you forsaken me?" He has forsaken his only begotten Son to save all the sinners of the world. So, the judgment and wrath we had to take was taken on Jesus. He was crucified. He took all the embarrassment and cursings. He died for us. And he gave us peace, the peace of God. "As the Father has sent me," the Father sent his only begotten Son to take care of the sins of the whole world. And Jesus died on the cross and fulfilled it. He did the works of the Father. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. He said this to the disciples, but this verse is not only for the disciples. It is for all born-again Christians. This verse is given to us today. I also send you. Jesus came down to this world in Israel, and he went here and there in Israel, showed a lot of miracles, and testified of himself that God sent him. And now, for the gospel to be preached to the ends of the earth, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. Born again Christians should preach what Jesus has finished. We are sent to preach the gospel. You know that? We should never forget about this. In Matthew 15, says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will testify of me. You were with me, you will testify of me as well. What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit coming down? To testify of Christ. It is to preach the gospel. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Does he do it in the air? No. Even in the Old Testament times, when God worked, he worked through prophets. And the works of salvation, the Son of God had to come and actually die on the cross. And even preaching the gospel, the Holy Spirit works through born-again Christians. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. Some people say, oh, preaching the gospel is given to pastors, evangelists. Are you talking about us as well? Yes. This verse is given to all born-again Christians. We should all preach. In Romans, it says, without a preacher, how can they listen? And without listening, how can they believe? Without sending, how can they preach? Oh, beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Without a preacher, nobody could listen. If you can't listen, you can't believe. If you can't believe, you can't be saved. Romans chapter 1, it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God that saves everybody who believes. This gospel is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. It has the power to drag up those who are falling down to hell to heaven. You know, there are all kinds of diseases, all kinds of drugs, and all kinds of doctors, but there's no perfect drug or perfect doctor who could cure everything. But Jesus is the perfect doctor that could cure everything. He could even save lost souls. And that job is given to born-again Christians. And I also send you. We are sent and we should preach. Without a preacher, how could they listen? We are sent, we should preach. It says in Corinthians that we are the representative of Christ. We are like an ambassador. We are sent, but if we forget about the purpose we are sent and just enjoy our life, what will happen? Will Jesus just leave you alone? Why are born-again Christians staying in this world? We talked about this. We have to listen again and again and again. In Psalms 118, it says, I will not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Born-again Christians are not dead but alive. What is the purpose? We're alive here to declare the works of God. God sacrificed His only begotten Son to save us. If you just believe, anybody could be saved. We are living to preach this. This is the greatest mission we should do while we are alive. This is the purpose of our lives. It is the purpose of our life. If we lose our purpose, we're same as dead. Why are born-again Christians living? Are we living because we can't die? Are we living because we want to make a lot of money and fulfill our desires? How can we live a good life? Is that our purpose? No! We have a purpose. We are living to preach the great grace of God. And we can't do it alone. So God made us one through the Holy Spirit. And the gospel is preached through the assembly of born-again Christians. We are a congregation. So in Luke it says, after Jesus died and resurrected, before He ascended to heaven, He said, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for what the Father has promised. Don't leave Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes down. Jesus died, resurrected, they saw Jesus ascend to heaven. They were no longer afraid of death. They had a lot of courage. The Jesus that you guys killed, He resurrected. He is the Christ. He ascended to heaven. They could preach. They were no longer afraid of death now. But Jesus said, wait. Wait. Don't leave Jerusalem. Wait. Why? Wait until the power comes down on you. They became one when the Holy Spirit came down. The Holy Spirit had to come down. They became one body. I'm not doing it alone. We have to do it together as a church. In Ephesians 3 verse 20 it says, according to the power that works inside us. The power that works in us. Where does the power work? The power works in us. Not me alone, but us. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. What does He do? What does God do? In John 5 verse 21, Jesus said, just like my Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom He will. He resurrects the dead, making the heavens and earth and ruling it is a big thing to do, but the greatest thing to do is to sacrifice His only begotten Son to die on the cross, resurrect Him 3 days after and send Him to heaven, and make dead souls go to heaven by making them believe. That is greater than the creation. If you look at Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, it says, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power. Jesus is the one who rules the whole world with His power. If you look at 1 John chapter 1 verse 3, it says, in chapter 1 verse 2, it says, life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was the Father and was manifested to us. Who is Jesus? He is the Creator. Through Him, the whole heavens and earth were created. There's nothing made without Him. In Hebrews chapter 1, it says, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. Who is He? The one who created the whole heavens and the earth? Jesus. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 it also says, through Him the whole worlds were created. He is the God who created all things, but that God came down in flesh. Who is Jesus, the Creator? He is the one who rules the world with the Word. He died on the cross and cleansed sin. In Hebrews it says, He upholds all things through the world. He rules the world through His Word. But that one died, shed blood, and cleansed his sin. It's kind of weird when you look at it. But it's true. The Creator of the heavens and the earth, He came down to this world in the form of man. He died on the cross, shed blood, and cleansed sins, and finished eternal redemption. There's nothing more amazing than this. God will not be able to do anything greater than this. This is the greatest thing He could do. He can't do anything else greater than this. This is a one-time event. And we are sent to preach what He has done for us. Jesus said, as the Father raises the dead, the Son does as well. Jesus raised the dead. Lazarus was dead, and his body was decayed and stinking, but he was resurrected. What does that mean? Is the purpose just to make him alive again? The power of God that was inside Jesus, where is it now? The power of God that worked inside Jesus worked inside the apostles. Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians 6 verse 1, it says, We then as workers together with him also pled with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. They were workers together with him. Jesus said, My Father works until now, so do I. Apostle Paul said, I am workers together with him. What is the work? Saving the dead souls. The Bible says, I dwell inside you and work inside you. God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. God is the one that saved Israel from Egypt. God, the one that worked inside Jesus. Where is he now? He is dwelling inside us and working among us. Isn't that amazing? We were dead by our sins and trespasses, and reviving that dead soul, does it work by the power of man? The greatest politician, the greatest king, cannot save one soul. A rocket scientist that could send a rocket to the moon or Mars, he cannot send one soul to heaven. Even with all the money of this whole world, you can't save one soul. But we can. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. This is an amazing verse. We were dead by our sins and trespasses, but our souls were delivered. We are saved, and we are saved to preach the gospel. In Psalms it says, those who fear the Lord, listen. Listen what the Lord has done for my soul. I will declare what God has done for my soul. We are living, we are sent to preach the gospel. We are living to preach the amazing works of salvation. And Jesus said, in verse 22, John 20, verse 22, it says, And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. Some people read this verse, and one preacher said, you know, Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. When I breathe on you, the Holy Spirit's going to go, wah! Receive the Holy Spirit. Wah! What a lie. If he breathes, he's just going to breathe bad breath. So what am I talking about? You know, in Genesis chapter 2, he created man and breathed in, and then man became a living being. But because of sin, that living being died. And if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says the first Adam became a living soul, but the last Adam became a reviving soul. So when Jesus said this, just like God breathed the breath of life, Jesus is saying that you will breathe the life, the spirit of life. So the Holy Spirit is pneuma. It's a living spirit of wind. We don't know where the wind will blow. You know, at the springtime, the tree that looked dead, leaves come out and it becomes back to life. Just like that, receive the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit breathes, people could be saved. Well, the disciples did not receive the Holy Spirit when Jesus breathed on them. The Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. So why did Jesus do this? He was saying that you will receive the Holy Spirit when it comes down. Receive the Holy Spirit. What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? We've been learning about this again and again. When the Holy Spirit comes down, he will testify of me. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be witnesses of me to the end of the earth. The Holy Spirit preaches the gospel through born-again Christians. It revives the dead. The first purpose for the Holy Spirit to come down here is to preach the gospel through the church. The reason that the church is in this world is to preach the gospel. Anything else is what comes after. The reason that we are still alive after we're born again is to preach the gospel. God made born-again Christians one in order to preach the gospel from Jerusalem to the end of the earth. The times of the apostles have passed, and now 2,000 years have passed. We're living in the end of times. The Holy Spirit that worked inside the apostles are now inside us. You know, cells, they die and are revived into new ones. But the cells of the brain, they don't die, they don't change. The head, Jesus, is still there, and the body has power. But the strength is not in the fist. When you strike something down, it's inside the head. Why does strength exist? To do the will of the head. We should not misuse our power. It cannot be used wrongly. The Holy Spirit is dwelling inside us so that we could preach the gospel. It is power inside us. We shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Samaria, to the end of the earth. The purpose of the church is to preach the gospel. We have to be used to preach the gospel. That is the purpose of our life. It is the first purpose that God made the church, to preach the gospel. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. And this verse is misused by the Catholic Church. They say, now, the priest, they have the power to forgive sins. Okay, repent your sins. If you do a confession and the priest forgives, you're forgiven. Does that make sense? No. Only Jesus has the power to redeem sin, to forgive sin. In Matthew, Jesus said, this is in order to let you know that the Son of Man has the power to remiss sins. Jesus died on the cross and resurrected. He redeemed sin. He has the power to forgive sin. If a sinless man does not die for sinful people, we cannot be saved. God's only begotten Son had to die for us because that was the only way to forgive sin. A sinless man had to die for the sinful people. Jesus had the power to forgive sins because he died for sin. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. This means if you preach the gospel, they will be forgiven. If you don't preach, they will be ruined. In Matthew 9 verse 6, it says, Matthew 16:9, Jesus said to Peter, I give you the key of heaven. If you open it, it will be opened. If you close it, it will be closed. Now, there is a lock in heaven. You need the key to open the lock. And the key for heaven was given to Peter. If he opens, it's opened. If he leaves it, it's closed. What does it mean? You know, the Catholic Church misuses this verse. It's the core of the doctrine of the Catholic Church. Okay, now, Jesus gave the key of heaven to Peter. And after Peter died, the Pope, the king of the church, that's the meaning of Pope, they call Peter the first Pope, and then the Catholic Church says the Pope is the descendant of Peter. It is complete lies, the core doctrine of the Catholic Church, and Peter would probably say in heaven, when did I say I'm the Pope? They just made it up and made power for themselves. Now the Pope has the key of heaven now. He can't open the key to everybody. So the priests are the one who works for him. So the priest has the power to forgive sins because the Pope gave the power to the priests. Does that make sense? Jesus, after he resurrected, he told the disciples, it's not only for Peter, it's for all his disciples. It's not only disciples, but all of us. We have the key to open the locks of heaven. If we open the lock, it is opened. If you look at Acts chapter 8, from Ethiopia to Jerusalem, there was a eunuch of the queen of Ethiopia. How can an Ethiopian believe in God? A long time ago, in Ethiopia, there was King Sheba. She visited Solomon once. She listened to the wisdom of Solomon. And then the faith in Ethiopia started. There are a lot of Christians there in Ethiopia. But the eunuch was worshipped at Jerusalem, was going back to Ethiopia. He didn't care about the good scenes of Palestine. He was just reading the Bible. Isaiah 53, the most important prophecy about Christ. He was pierced and But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Oh, there's some meaning here, but he was not able to understand. God sent Philip. Philip was one of the seven deacons. He's not even an apostle. He was a deacon. The Holy Spirit told Philip, go close to that chariot. You know the Gaza area now. He was going towards there. And he was going close and said, hey, you look like you're reading the Bible. Do you understand it? And the eunuch stopped the chariot. There's no preacher. How could I know? Now, if this eunuch was proud and arrogant, he only meets the high priests, the rabbis. Those people killed Jesus. They have no idea about Isaiah 53. Now, he only met the high priests before, and now he's going back, and a young man that's all dirty certainly pops up in the wilderness and says, hey, do you understand? Would he feel good? Let's say that a professor of a university came, hello, do you know what you're reading? He could say, well, I don't know, but now a young man, he's all dirty, suddenly pops up and says, hey, you know what you're reading about? He could have, if he was arrogant, he could have said, shoo, go away. If the eunuch was arrogant and just, and said to Philip, go away, he would have lost the opportunity to go to heaven and would have fell down to hell. And then he would have came to Jerusalem, go back to Ethiopia, worship, go back, and fall down to hell. But this eunuch had the heart, the desire for the truth. So, God sent Philip. Do you know what you're reading? How can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sip with him. And Philip opened his mouth and taught him. Jesus died on the cross, resurrected. Philip preached the gospel, and then they were on the road and they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. You know, Christians today, they would say, okay, bring a bowl of water, and they will just put some water on the head. But it wasn't like that back then. They went down and they got baptized. The eunuch was completely submerged into water. Just using a bowl of water and drawing a cross on your head that came from the Catholic Church. But we have to do it according to the Bible. Baptism is completely going down into the water. It's the death and come back up from the water. That's resurrection. But anyway, the eunuch met Philip, he was saved, got baptized. In a very short period of time, that all happened. God helped that man, that eunuch, to be saved. The gospel is the power of God to save those who are dead. Now, there is a lock. There's a lock in this Bible. This Bible testifies of me, it testifies of Jesus, and the lock has to be opened through the Bible. And those who are born again have the key to open this lock. Without a key, I can't open this lock. If you use the wrong key, the lock doesn't open. Philip had the key. Now, we have the key, we have the gospel to save those who are going down to hell. This gospel is the power of God to save all those who believe in it. In Ephesians, it says, and have the sword of the word, the power of God. The Bible is the sword of God. If the Holy Spirit doesn't work inside us, the word cannot become the sword. If the Holy Spirit doesn't work, the gospel cannot be the power of God to save dead souls. So the Holy Spirit has to work inside us. For that to happen, we have to know the word correctly. We have to obey the word of God. We have to obey the Holy Spirit. We have to be used by the Holy Spirit. Some people, they preach the gospel, but the works of salvation don't happen. They could make false salvation. Why? They know in their head, but their heart doesn't know. Why? Because the Holy Spirit doesn't work. There could be responsibility on the listener or the preacher. The listener should have a desiring heart to be saved, then God will help. Without the heart wanting to be saved, God doesn't help you to be saved. And also the preacher has responsibility. The preacher must rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. He should pray. But if you try to preach with your own talent, then the Holy Spirit doesn't work. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Apostle Paul said, "When I preach the gospel, I don't do it with the word of man, but by the Holy Spirit, so that your faith is not by the words of man, but the power of the Holy Spirit." Apostle Paul said when he preached the gospel, he didn't try to do it with his own wisdom. Apostle Paul was a very intelligent man, but he didn't do it with his own intelligence. Why? So that your faith doesn't come from the word of man, but the power of God. The Holy Spirit has to work. Even if we preach the gospel, if the Holy Spirit doesn't work, people cannot be saved. So we have to pray for the Holy Spirit to work. We have to be the tunnel of the Holy Spirit. You know, a long time ago, in order to make the water flow in a clean way, there was no such thing as pipelines back then. So what did the old people use? They used bamboo. The bamboo has a hole in it. They made the hole, put it at the water, and brought the water all the way to the road so that strangers could drink water. The bamboo, before you put a hole in it, it is filled up. We have to make the hole. We have to take everything out. If water doesn't come out, then something is blocking it. We have to be the tunnel of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works through born-again Christians. This is a very important fact. If you forget, I'm going to say it again and again and again. It has to be inscribed in our hearts. If we know it and forget about it, it's no use. Just because you forget about it, does the Holy Spirit go away? No. Let's go to John chapter 12. John chapter 14, verse 12. John 14, verse 12. Let's read together. "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." Before the night Jesus died, among the many things Jesus taught his disciples, this is a very important verse as well. "Most assuredly I say to you." He said "most assuredly." It means that it is a very, very important thing. And what did he say? "He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." Jesus went all over Israel for 3.5 years, and he did many things. He resurrected the dead, he cured the lepers, he made the blind open up their eyes. He fed 5,000 people at once. He cast out demons. He calmed down the storms. There's nobody who did more miracles than Jesus. Jesus said, "He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do." Even the apostles, they resurrected the dead. We don't need to revive any dead people now. Everything was fulfilled now. What is greater works than these? Jesus fed 5,000 people at once. But Peter, he preached, and then a few thousand people were saved at once. This is greater works. Jesus revived the dead bodies, but now preaching the gospel saves dead souls. Jesus cured lepers, but when we preach the gospel, the dirty soul is cleansed. The blind man opens his eyes. The soul is blind to the grace of God, but when they are saved, they are open to God. Their eyes are open to God. Jesus calmed down the storms. He said, "Greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." Because I go to my Father means after I go up, the Holy Spirit will come down, and then you could do greater works than me. And that Holy Spirit is dwelling inside us. Do we have no power? We have power. We should have pride. And just as Jesus did, we could do. The God that worked in the Old Testament times, the God that worked through Jesus, is now working inside us. The Bible says God poured down the Spirit like anointing. Jesus did the good works, cured the sick. Even inside Jesus, there was the Holy Spirit. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, he showed miracles. Through the Holy Spirit, he died on the cross, resurrected. The Holy Spirit worked inside Jesus, and he did the good things wherever he went. He saved those who were under the pressure of the devil. Just as the Father raised the dead, so does the Son through the power of the Holy Spirit. He called back those who were under the power of the devil. And that power is now inside us. Jesus went to his Father. It means that if I go, the Spirit will come. If I don't go, the Spirit will not come. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we could do greater things than Jesus has done. Born again Christians, through the Holy Spirit, through the Word, through love, we are one. And when we work as one for the Holy Spirit and the gospel, God works inside us. Many souls can be saved through us. You know, last time, we had the first Bible seminar of this year, and many people were saved. There were many, many newcomers. You know, last week, I went to Gwangju and had a Bible seminar there, and there were many newcomers. There were more than 500 newcomers at Gwangju last week. And people who attended to the end, there were about 300, 400 people who listened from the beginning to the end. Many people were saved. And how could this happen? It was the biggest seminar after Gwangju Church was established. I asked, how did you do it? And there are 111 districts in Gwangju. 111 districts. And every district was given a portion to bring. And no matter what you do, bring new souls. They prayed, they prepared, and brought new souls. So that's why many people are saved. If you just stay still, nobody's going to come. We born-again Christians, each and every one of us should work, even for the world mission. What is this year? This is the year of world mission. Give all your strength, all your heart, give your everything. Every one of us should participate together. If a few work and a few don't, then it's not going to work. If we are saved, we should participate. If you're inside the church, we should have the same purpose. Oh, even if I don't, somebody else is going to do? Well, they may do, but what about you? Standing in front of God, what is He going to say? You're going to be embarrassed. I died on the cross for you, shed blood and saved your soul. What did you do for me? What are you going to answer? Did you do the work I gave you? Apostle Paul says, whether I'm present or not, I try to please God. How can we please God? When a sinner repents, God is most pleased. What pleases God the most? Saving a soul. We should pray for it. We should prepare for it. We should offer money for it. We should give efforts. In order to preach the gospel, we have to give our everything. When you look at people trying to preach the gospel, we see, oh, that person was supposed to come today to the Bible seminar, but he didn't. Maybe he'll come tomorrow. When we preach to one soul, we are so desperate. Why? We know that our soul being saved was very precious. Other people's soul being saved is a very precious thing. Oh, I don't care if he's saved or not. No, some people don't even care, even though their family is not saved. They say, oh, they'll be saved one day. It doesn't happen just like that. It's very selfish. If you look at Acts, when born-again Christians have the same heart, people were saved daily. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Verse 46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people were saved, and the born-again Christians, they were all together. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Every day they tried to gather at the temple, break bread together, eat food together. You know, born-again Christians eating food together and having fellowship, that is a very good way of having fellowship. They praised God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. God worked among them. God added daily to the church. Let's also see Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Acts chapter 4, verse 31, let's read together. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. There was a lot of persecution back then. The Christians gathered together and prayed. And when they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. When we pray for the gospel, the Holy Spirit is filled inside us. Next week, we're going to learn about what it's being filled with the Holy Spirit. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Let's also look at Acts chapter 9, verse 3. Chapter 9, verse 3. Acts chapter 9, verse 3. Sorry, it's Acts chapter 8, verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Now, there was a great persecution in Jerusalem. And except for the apostles, everybody was scattered, and those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. And let's look at chapter 9, Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Chapter 9, verse 31. Read together. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. All Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, there were all the churches, they were connected as one. They had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, means by the power of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied every day. When the Holy Spirit works, born-again people are added daily. When they are one. But if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, the Corinthian church, it was a long time since they were saved, but they were still carnal. They were little babies in Christ. For you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? We should give all we have for the Holy Spirit, for preaching the gospel, but if you lose your heart and become carnal again, then there will be envy, strife, and divisions. And that's what happened in the Corinthian church. If there is envy, strife, and divisions among the church, then the works of salvation cannot happen. That is the works of Satan working against the Holy Spirit. Just hating each other with a small problem being... No, even in the Corinthian church, there were a lot of divisions, and then could God work through them? Even a fire, if you scatter it, then it dies. If you scatter the fire, it dies quickly. But they didn't know that. They had envy, strife, and divisions. And probably Satan is just dancing out of joy. You're pleasing the Satan and you don't even know it. We shouldn't do it. We are born again, but we're still weak. We lack a lot. We're foolish. We should have compassion for each other. We should hold on to each other's faith. You know, think about a family. Maybe in the family there's a grandmother with Alzheimer's, and also there's the mother, father, maybe there's the little boy that never listens. And but what do? Cover it all with love. If the little one poos and pees, then change his diaper. If we don't take care of each other, who will? When we are one, God works through us. In John 13, it says, "As I loved you, love one another. I give you a new commandment, love one another. If you love one another, everybody will know that you are my disciples." What is the new commandment Jesus gave? It is love one another. Love makes us one. Love covers a lot of weaknesses. We should have compassion for each other. We could forgive each other with love. Love makes us one. Then everybody will know that you are my disciples. It means that people will be saved. If there is fights among us, we should know that it's Satan's work. We should stop fighting. We should know that Satan is making fun of me. You don't even know that and just keep on fighting. It's kind of fearful, you know, when we see this inside the church. Just speak however you want. Judge each other. Blame each other. Being angry does not fulfill the will of God. We should remember that if we do wrong, we could please the devil. In Thessalonians, it says, "Do not quench the Spirit." Don't quench the Spirit. Quenching the Spirit means putting out the fire. We should keep the fire of the Spirit burning. The fire of the Holy Spirit that started at the day of Pentecost should burn on and on. It shouldn't be quenched. It is quenched here and there. We can't see the fire anymore. God is working through our church. The fire of the gospel is being preached. We should keep it on burning. In Leviticus, it says, when you give the burnt offering, it says, don't quench the fire. Keep the fire on. Put on the wood again and again. Keep the fire burning on. We should not quench the Holy Spirit. If we do wrong, the Spirit is quenched. The purpose of the church is to keep the burning of the Holy Spirit go on. You know, the sun can't burn anything, but if you get the magnifying glass and gather the sunlight, it burns. When we gather together, we could fulfill the great works of the Holy Spirit. We should endeavor to keep the unity of the bond of peace. We all should participate in God's works to preach the gospel. Now let's pray together. Our merciful Father in heaven, we were far away from you. We lived among our sins. We were enemies with you because of our evil deeds, but you had compassion on us. You died for us, you shed blood on the cross and cleansed our sins. You saved us without any works from our side. We thank you. We are still living in our weak flesh, but inside us the Holy Spirit came down. Please help us with our weaknesses until we enter your kingdom of heaven. Please protect us, lead us, and guide us. Make us one by the Holy Spirit. Let us form your bodily church. Father, please work inside us. Please use us so that those who are not saved could be saved. Let us preach the gospel to many lost souls that many people could be saved. Please work inside us. Please hold us tightly with your word and use us to glorify you, to fulfill your works. We know that your second coming is so close. Please let many souls be saved every day. We rely everything on your merciful hands, and we pray it in our Lord's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's sing hymns. So hymns 372.